Shepherd, the North Carolina Department, State Department of Public Health.
Okay.
And he runs these cancer collaboratives. So mm-hmm. he knew there were seven, like all their cancer collaboratives across the state.
Yeah.
Seven of them. And so that's pretty
that's
exciting.
That's awesome.
Season. And then one of the multi-state learning collaboratives is using it too.
Which state?
New Hampshire.
Excellent.
They
that's really,
me and yeah. Like, so we're just getting it. We just did the demos, and so we're just getting it started.
So is it going to be available for anyone who wants to use them?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it can be now. It's just that I think everyone kind of needs an intro.
Right, right.
To use it. Not just like, oh, here it is. Just
maybe we can figure out some way when we do that trainings to give you that opportunity.
Yeah.
And then we can talk about evaluation from day one, you know, when they can do it in the beginning and then...
Yeah. And the other thing we're doing is I have a student right now. It's in Excel, you know, the way it works.
Yeah.
Which is nice because anyone can use it. But I have a student who's writing it in HTML and then mm-hmm. the school is going to try to help me put this down. I know, I'm so sorry. I know, it's funny because you said Danielle and I'm like...
It's not about you anymore.
Spring off, and then do you have to teach in summertime?
No.
Oh, that's nice.
We start teaching in the fall.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be perfect.
When do you do?
Saturday.
Okay, so you'll
oh, so
like,
you
will.
That's really great.
It's so worth it. I mean, I'm kind of complaining, but when they said, yeah, the spring off, do you want to get your stuff? I was like, okay. But then I've been so tired. Everyone said, oh, no, good. Start feeling better at whatever month. But it's just like, no.
It's all this preparedness for the baby.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like
it's like training. It's like marathon training.
And I've been like working late at night, so I've not heard anything in the morning, so I go setting an alarm. And I've worked till like 9. It's like heaven. So I've never made myself do that before. I get it for 7 hours, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure we all do. So now I'm just like, if I don't do that, I won't be sleeping. So the last night, I'm kind of like, well, I only slept like 7 hours.
It was really, and Natalie had spoke, but I think you probably have a good sense of what's happening in New Jersey.
We actually talked a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's excellent.
Yeah. She was so helpful in helping us. I think the only thing that I wish was better was the folks at her state. I think they really helped use it, and then I don't know that they, like, not all of them finished. So a lot of them started and then they finished. I don't know if those are helpful for her, or what she was hoping with the date was that,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a state, everyone knew about it. I know individual collaborators, one of them's presenting all her stuff at her conference.
Oh, really?
Where. But she asked, can I take it around? And she's...
Who was that?
Oh my gosh, Lisa
Lehman? Is she through Holler?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's actually on our Mac.
She's one of the only ones who I know like takes it outside of the group. You know, I don't really know what she's doing. But it's that's whatever, you know, that's good.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I was hoping to just sit down and talk a little bit and see, you know, what she's doing. But I was just saying one of the they're not as many Wisconsin just picking that up, and then there's a map group in Wahoo, Washington. Just starting this up this week, so to use it. And then one of the multi-state learning collaborative wants to partner with the back of the fighting, and then the
North Carolina State Health Department. They have cancer collaborators. So they have seven across the state. So they're going to use a small slash. This guy, his name is Walter Shepard. He's in front of Rainbow Nest Anchor. So he does mostly survivorship stuff. And I'm really excited because I want to.
Yeah. When I mention it to people, they're like, yes, I need that. Yeah. So I think it's just a matter of when people hear about it and see it.
I have a student programming in an HTML, and my school is trying to host it on the server for free.
That's
which
awesome.
Is then the only reason it's not on a server is because I don't want it to be spending it because it goes down. So it's just sitting in Excel, which is fine. It's just one little thing that makes it hard to use. People have to enable their networks. But otherwise, so if that the school's kind of it's, like it's political.
Mm-hmm.
So if they get that all sorted out, though,
so we can link to it from our evaluation portion of the clearinghouse. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So if it's online, it'll be much easier for people to use it. I hope people will continue to give me their data sets because I told them, like, they would all share, like, I'm not sure who they are or where they're from. That's not what I'll do with them. I want to collect a bunch of, you know, a whole bunch and, you know, learn more about
Danielle, this is Paul.
Paul Wiesner.
Thank you.
Yeah. In case you need. No, problem. Yeah, he did read you. Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's exciting. I wasn't sure whether or not it was your product or if it was part of RAND, or, but I'm glad that you were able to take it.
Well, yeah, no, and I talked to Kate Papa at Academy Health, and the grant said it's in the public domain.
Oh, I see.
So
okay.
They can use it, and we can use it, and we can use it, anyone can.
That's awesome.
Can you explain this thing to us?
Okay, yeah, so essentially just front, back.
Oh, it's pretty simple.
Yep.
Which was front?
Okay.
The left, and then back on the right.
Okay, good.
And I just have a few introductory remarks,
yeah.
And then I'll pass it on to you.
That's good, I'll leave that right here.
Okay. I think we still have
that. Yeah, I just...
Yeah, or hopefully one of the pockets.
Oh, okay. I was trying to see if there was feedback, so I had touched it, but I don't know. There's half battery left. I don't know.
Yeah, half battery will take it.
Yeah.
So do you mind if I be not done? Do you have it recording right
now? No. I stopped it, but I think it's in like a pause mode.
Okay.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. We're going to get started on time here. I want to thank you all for joining us this morning. My name is Julia Jo Elligers, and I'm a senior analyst at the National Association of County and City Health Officials, where I work on the Mobilizing for Action Through Planning and Partnerships and the National Public Health Performance Standards Program at NACHO. And we are the convener of this session, but before I begin, is anyone here not familiar with NACHO? Okay. So for those of you who are not familiar with us, we are the association that represents the nearly 3,000 local health departments in the country. We provide technical assistance and resources to local health officers, their staff, and their communities, and we also serve as the voice for local public health at the national level. And so today we'll be talking about one of the programs that was created by NACHO in conjunction with the Centers for Disease Control, along with a lot of public health experts and practitioners in the field. And this program is called MAP, which stands for Mobilizing for Action Through Planning and Partnerships. And the acronym and the words that make up the acronym really reflect the key theoretical concepts that underlie the program and the process, which will be the topic of today's session. So the objectives of this session are to provide an overview of the process within the historical context in which it was created, and then to describe the theoretical foundations and the benefits of going through this process at the local level. We have four speakers today, including myself, and it's a real honor to be presenting with them today. Paul Wiesner is with the Northwest Center for Public Health Practice at the University of Washington, and he's retired, but we like to bring him out of retirement. He was the original chair of the work group that created the MAP process, and he was also instrumental in the implementation of MAP in DeKalb County, Georgia. And he'll be describing the origins of the process, the context in which it was created, the overall purpose, with a particular focus on community organizing and engagement. We also have Patrick Lenihan with us today, and he's a professor at the University of Illinois Chicago School of Public Health, and he also served on the original work group that created the MAP process. He was also the former deputy health commissioner in Chicago, and that is one of the localities that also implemented the MAP process and one of the first early adopters of MAP. And he will be describing MAP in terms of strategic planning concepts and really focusing on the theories of strategic planning. Our third speaker is Danielle Varda, and she's a professor at the University of Colorado School of Public Health, or School of Public Affairs in Denver. She was most recently with the RAND Corporation, and she had created a social network tool called Partner, and which has helped several MAP sites in its piloting phase kind of evaluate partnerships that were developed as a result of the MAP process. And she'll be talking about MAP in terms of theories of strategic network management. And then finally, I'll be concluding the presentation portion of this session talking about MAP as a framework for doing continuous quality improvements. And we'll hopefully have some time for some good discussion and question and answer. But before we begin, we just need to explicitly mention that we don't have any personal financial relationships to disclose as a result of doing this process and or this presentation. So I'll pass them on to you, Paul.
Good morning. I guess it's good morning. Am I going backwards? Okay, we're gonna be talking about some key concepts in the development of MAP. I want to start with this kind of symbol, and I I particularly like the last sentence. And the other day I was driving in Seattle and was looking at these gnarly hands that were on the wheel of the car, and I said, what are my father's hands doing on that wheel? Right. Quickly realized that they were my own. So I hope you respect the fact that some experience comes with age. Particularly like Gary Snyder's poetry, on top. This particular one kind of applies to at least these reflections on the history of the development of MAP. All this new stuff goes on top. Turn it over. Turn it over, weight and water down. From the dark bottom, turn it inside out. Let it spread through. Sift down, even. Watch it sprout. A mind like compost. And it's been very fun for me to watch the historical development of MAP. I'm going to do this pretty quickly, where the to try to give some context for the development of this tool. We were aiming to have some progress toward the future. You know, in 1988, the Institute of Medicine report said that public health was in disarray, and those of us who were working in public health knew it was in disarray. That was a 225-page report. NATO's response to that disarray was to develop a tool called APEX-PH, which focused on assessing the capacity of a local health department and the health status of a community to actually carry out a marriage between the two where something could be done about improving the health status. Come year 2000, the Turning Point Initiative was introducing the concept of systems approach more broadly within the United States. It was in that context that we were developing MAP, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, but it is kind of a bridge on a continuous flow of wisdom and information that occurs in communities. Then, of course, there's the 2003 Institute of Medicine report, The Future of the Public's Health, and you notice that that's 509 pages, and this is 225 pages. Just kind of believing that more is not necessarily better, I was impressed with the 2005 operational definition of a functional local health department from NACHO, and it actually lays out the kind of competencies and expectations that a local health department will need to have in place to respond to the challenges. Now, back in 1996, we had a vision to create a robust tool of public health practice to be used by communities with effective local health department leadership to create a local system that ensures the delivery of health services essential to protecting the health of the public. Now, I've highlighted those few. You can see this is that symbol of wisdom in the back here, right? So I've highlighted those pieces, and I think it's really important that we were focusing on practice, and we're expecting that the community would be using this, not just the public health agency. We gave a nod to local health department leadership, and we actually focused on systems and essential services. I think in the long run, the development of MAP realized most of these goals. And our proposal from NACHO to the Centers for Disease Control emphasized these four items, developing practice definitions, and that evolved into the National Performance Measurement System. We wanted to expand the concept of community capacity,
And actually, the goal there was moving professionals and communities closer together. We were adopting the principles of strategic planning so that we could change the way we were doing business. And Patrick will talk a lot more about the strategic planning model that we chose. And we created a learning environment. And it's kind of exciting for me to sit and watch the development of the learning community around MAP, which has been quite impressive. I'm impressed by, I mean, I got a list from the staff people at Nature of all the members of the MAP work group at the moment, and the great thing is I only know two of them. And so two of the 16 are ones that I've known when we first started on the development of MAP. Now, our guiding principles are, you know, everyone's got guiding principles, but we really want to emphasize two changes of the way of thinking. One was strategic thinking and system thinking, and you're going to hear more about that later on. But then the other concept was the really intense idea of this is a shared responsibility. So sharing was, you know, was critical that we develop dialogue skills, that we have a shared vision, that we focused on partnerships and collaboration, and that we use data to guide the work. As some of those who are maybe in the room who were involved with the early development of MAP, we spent a lot of time celebrating success. Maybe they don't celebrate it as much as we did, but in our venues in the development of this, we did a lot of celebration. Now, one of the key concepts here was not to do something completely de novo, was to build on the past principles. And I'll use this as an example as it relates to the health status indicators and measurements. We stole or plagiarized or worked collaboratively whatever project around public health status indicators was going on at the time. The HRSA had a community health indicators project. The comprehensive assessment for tracking community health indicators out of South Florida was Studnicki's group. We used heavily. There was an IOM report on the role of performance monitoring in health improvement. We were very taken by McKnight's work on asset mapping and tried to incorporate that into our measurement pieces. We used, CDC had an early beginning at that time of quality of life measurements, and so we were interested in trying to incorporate some of those ideas. We actually highly valued the apex pH indicators from 10 years before, we realized a couple things, and I chaired that work group and the MAP work group that developed those two tools, but we realized that the apex pH was particularly deficient in the area of environmental health, and it also had a very relatively rigid structure for developing indicators for measuring health status. So we stole readily from the PACH development at NACHO, where they obviously were focused on environmental health, but also made a really strong effort to develop relevant community-based indicators for environmental health instead of just coming in from above with a specific set of indicators. Now I'm going to describe in the next slide a series of creative tensions that arose, and I suspect continue today in the public health practice, but they arose during the development of MAP, and I thought that just holding these tensions would be a worthwhile exercise, because they were very vigorous discussions. One of those tensions was, should the model that we use be one that is focused on healthy cities, or should it more likely be useful to the local public health agency and system if we were focused on strategic planning? And you have in front of you today two protagonists on the on this tension. I'm in this area, and Patrick Lenihan was in this area, that discussion. And we had vibrant, active discussions about that balance. And, of course, we hope we've arrived at a point where it's not an either-or. It's an and. And so both were emphasized. But, you know, it is worthwhile to think about the kinds of things that the people who were in this camp were thinking about at the time of developing a tool. Remember, the concept was Apex PH was very much agency-focused, was kind of the traditional problem-oriented public health approach, and we were trying to be making another step forward for improvement. And so we were, you know, I mean, just to use Trevor Hancock's definition of what is the healthy cities movement, and he describes that in the 10 short years, this is like from 1985 or 6 to 1991 or 2, in the 10 short years, but building on hundreds of years of experience, the healthy cities movement has grown from a small European project to a worldwide phenomenon. It is truly an expression of René Dubois' famous dictum that we need to think globally but act locally. It is now forging links with other movements that are involved with the business of building human, social, and ecological capital. The healthy communities approach promises to be one of the key strategies of achieving human development in the 21st century. So you can kind of see that description. And Patrick's going to give you just as an exciting description of strategic planning. And then Tyler Norris, I thought, captured out of the National Coalition of Healthy Cities and Healthy Communities, where he says, this movement, the Healthy Cities Movement, seeks local solutions to address the challenges of improving health and quality of life. It has its roots in community, not in a national or organizational agenda. At its core, valuing and employing the local resources for positive change, it is not about getting, but it is about using effectively what we have. It implies sharing tools and pooling resources in new ways. It brings together business, government, not-for-profit, healthcare, faith, and citizens' leaders to address the community health collaborative. Now, those are tensions, and we held them all during the development of MAP. There was another tension that was whether we should be focusing on health improvement or whether we should be focusing on the improvement of the performance of a public health agency. Again, it's not an either-or, but actually, even after the MAP process got started, folks from the Centers for Disease Control, our funding agency, were particularly interested in developing scientifically based performance measurements for public health practice. And so they were very forceful in saying, we need that, NHO, and we said, we sure do need that since you're our funding agency. At the same time, we worked hard to integrate this performance standard measurement with the concept of health improvement. We had another tension, which is maybe kind of easy now, where there was this tension between a focus on the agency that was present in APEX versus system development. I think there's a general consensus now that the movement should be in the direction of systems development, but that wasn't clear at the time of the development of MAP. We even had some fun with the name. There was an interest on those people who know something about branding to actually let's keep something that's close to Apex PH, because the public health folks, it was dear to their heart, and they wanted to keep it. So we put, I can't even remember what this acronym stood for, and we ended up with MAP, which is now a new brand. I can remember one of the reasons that we ended, made this switch to this was a review at the, my local health department, the DeKalb County Board of Health, where we had you know, community participants looking at this, and they said, Apex CPH? That sounds like a new kind of suppository. So you can see the tension between revolution and evolution. And we actually probably chose someplace in the middle between these two. But the those people who were in the revolutionary camp were quick to point out there's actually two kinds of public health. Of course, there's 20 kinds of public health, but the two that they chose to contrast was the one that starts with the premise, which is still very prevalent in the United States, in the world, that the agency knows all and the community knows little. And what you do in that circumstance is lecture, and then you that leads to domestication, and that leads to the status quo. Now, it's easy to show that contrast, right? It's a little bit like contrasting religions, right? Now, those people who were on the more revolutionary side said something like, no agency knows everything, and everybody knows something. And so there must be some way that we can tap into that collective knowledge that results in a whole new approach, spend more of our time listening, less of our time lecturing. We actually work hard to facilitate thinking, speaking, and acting. And then we actually have some liberation that occurs. And you know this is all developed out of Paulo Freire's liberation theories on education in South America. And that liberation actually causes change. And I suppose you could do a little contrast with a current kind of political environment, and you would have some interesting discourses along which model are the various protagonists using. I put this symbol up here just because these are the slides I particularly want you to pay attention to, this learning slide. Dave Hilton was a mentor of mine in DeKalb County who was very deeply connected to the Paulo Freire movement in South America, and he did some translation of things for us in our Center for Public Health Transformation at the DeKalb Board of Health. And these little aphorisms are things that I think really are meaningful. First of all, if we're going to work with communities, we got to learn when being helpful is not helpful. And there is something extremely disempowering of the helpful people. Oops, I don't want to go. And then a principle that we tried to incorporate into MAP was this, don't start a task until you have a relationship. I can't tell you how much time in my public health experience people have come to a community or to a group of stakeholders with a task without a relationship. Oh, I keep forgetting. And then recognizing that both the timing and the direction of so-called input are important. Public health people have often tried to determine the fact that they're going to be recipients of input from the community at the time that they choose. And David Hilton's point of view is that both the timing and the input has to be at least bidirectional, but certainly should be more weighted towards the community. So the community ought to be provided opportunities to set a stage where they can decide when they want to give input to people who are, quotes, making decisions. And secondly, they may have agendas and should be encouraged to have agendas that are not even perceived at the time that the effort is going. Now, many of us over the years have spent a lot of time honing our skills in creating the ability to speak to people in a way that they will listen. but we spend a lot less time trying to listen to people in a way that they will speak. So these principles we tried to formally and informally integrate into this model. And I'm moving quickly now because I've got the 2-minute signal here. The core of the strategic planning model is here, and Patrick will talk more about that. It's circled by 4 assessments that are purposefully designed to be continuous. So we have to keep working at that continuity. Now, that conceptual model there didn't go over too well with the community. This one went over a lot better, but the one disadvantage of the community-friendly model is it's linear, where this one is continuous. So both are probably valuable. You all know these assessments. Many of you have been engaged with MAP. I'm going to skip over those to make the point about the difference between an agency and a system. A lot of people think public health is a set of programs, or some people think it's related to the science that underpins those programs. And some people have even said, well, but you need more than that, you need an infrastructure. And you do. And once you put those three together, what you have is an agency. But it's only when you combine that with a community do you have a system. And so that's the underpinning of the local public health system assessment. I'm going to let you just read these points. In the environment of the development of MAP, there were a lot of converging ideas going on, and I've mentioned a few of them already. Now, what MAP does is create a new set of challenges, building new and exciting partnerships, accepting mutual responsibility, sharing decision-making, increasing community capacity and skills, and acknowledging the assets and contributions of all partners. Those things are not easy. So NATO developed a vision for MAP, and interesting that the active noun in this vision is communities achieving improved health and quality of life by mobilizing partnerships and taking strategic action. I'm going to skip these. They're in your handout. But we tried to model the development of MAP in the same way we would want to model development of a community. Hands-on approach, timely application of expertise, getting you deciding when you're going to bring somebody in to help you out with something, leadership support, effective use of communication technology, structured delegation, modern dialogue and facilitation. All of these things are critically important. I do want to mention one, and I don't see Liza here. I was going to say that we had a stellar staff at NATO, as they still do, but Liza Corso was the key person there. And for our work in DeKalb County, Teresa Dobb was the key person. So it's a new set of competencies that MAP expects. And I think it's the beauty of this tool is that it is going to keep pushing people to do things differently. I'll end now so we don't take any more time. Who's next? Okay. Do you want this water?
Hello, everybody. Paul described some of the elements of MAP, the Watts, if you will, and one stream of thinking that was behind why MAP looks like the way it does, particularly the more user-friendly community picture. I'm going to talk from another perspective, another stream of thinking, and discuss some of the whys behind a MAP. If I can go forward. MAP is different, and it can seem complex when you first look at it, there are six phases, and each phase has several steps, and you have to adapt it. Adaptation is essential for success, and indeed, in a survey that was done in 2006 of MAP sites, those sites that were most successful had adapted MAP to unique circumstances in their localities. But adaptation is not intuitive, and while NACHO puts a lot of sound advice on its website for users of MAP so that they can go through an adaptation process, you still need to be able to understand what's behind MAP in order to adapt it effectively. Otherwise, you may end up having a combination of techniques which may not fit together. The sum of the parts may not come up to a pleasant whole. And I think one way to really get an understanding of why those parts are there and how they fit together is to look at some of the theoretical pedigrees of MAP. As Kurt Lewin pointed out some years ago, theory does actually provide you with an understanding of why it's important. And understanding some of the theories will help you to know then what things need to be included and why they were put there in the first place. From the perspective of MAP, I think we can trace MAP in three streams of thought. One, in the comprehensive health planning model, which I think underlies all planning and public health. Leadership, which Paul mentioned, which is touched upon. And then most importantly, at least from the perspective of what makes MAP different, is strategic planning and management. Planning has always been part of public health practice, going back to the sanitation movement of the 19th century, in which early urban planning was largely about disease control, separating land uses and making sure that sanitation, sewage treatment, and density would not promote disease. The key value of planning is adding rationality to political decision-making. The IOM recognized a 1988 landmark report, which Paul pointed out, that much decision-making in public health is political. And we're not talking here about political in the sense of political parties and elections, which we're all riveted on, but the role of interests and power relationships in all social decisions. Now, public health has been very comfortable with the rationality part, but less comfortable with the political part. So much of public health planning has been highly analytical, reflecting the importance of epidemiology as a core science of planning. The rational planning model, though, underlies most all planning, including those used in public health. And its principal tenet is that analysis can be used to understand problems and select among alternative solutions. It's really planning as engineering. And the heart of planning under comprehensive rationality, then, is analysis. It's very similar, as I mentioned, to public health people because it's rooted in this core science of epidemiology. Several planning models have evolved in public health in the last 25 years, and all have featured a heavy dose of analysis, mostly used to understand health status conditions, as Paul has pointed out, but all vary in other dimensions, and there's a recognition in all of these models that there needs to be some way to accommodate this political side of planning. It's not just an analysis. And you can see in each of these different models that have evolved over the years an attempt to do this. Because MAP is built on the foundations of prior public health approaches to planning, the rational planning model also underlies MAP. That 2006 survey that I mentioned before of MAP users showed that, as we expected, a significant number of MAP users had prior experience with earlier approaches to public health planning. APEX, in particular, perhaps the most analytical of these approaches, was used by over half of the MAP users in the survey. So MAP reflects this rational model in the prominent role of the analysis featured in the four MAP assessments, which you can see in that model which Paul put up earlier. A second theoretical stream worth mentioning, I think, is the leadership concepts. Paul pointed out that MAP is to be conducted within a community under the leadership of the local public health agency. So it's not something which springs up by itself within the community. It does need some leadership function in order to take shape. But the type of leadership is really meta leadership. It's working across organizations using the power of persuasion without traditional executive authority, generally associated with high-level management. And the purpose is to set direction among diverse but independent stakeholders. So, what is strategic planning, as at least it applies to MAP? Well, the most significant departure of MAP from prior public health planning is the introduction of strategic planning or strategic management concepts, this third theoretical stream. MAP draws on core concepts of strategic planning, which often are obscured because strategic planning originated in the business sector and has taken on many of the trappings of business uses of strategic planning. Strategic planning also is not grounded in any one unified theory, but draws on several schools of thought. So it's difficult to really find out what is the core in attempting to use this tool. But at its core, I think it's fair to say that strategic planning is really about thinking and acting in a different way, in a more holistic, higher level way than public health agencies or individual partners in the community are used to acting as they attempt to achieve healthier communities. Why would public health agencies and communities want to do this? Why is this important for public health? Well, I think you can see that today, many of the challenges facing public health agencies are strategic. They really get to the environmental pressures and call for rapid change, which public health agencies are facing all around them, and communities in which public health agencies work share in that. The challenges affect the core purpose, role, and mission of public health. They present really an adaptive rather than a technical challenge. It's making a transformation. Paul talked about this tension between evolution and revolution. I think that tension gets resolved through the term transformation. It's doing something different. It's doing something at a higher level and moving beyond what was done in the past to meet these new environmental challenges. There's a call for something which is more than an operational response. It's doing more of the same, doing it in an efficient way. It's just not enough. It's more than efficiency. There are numerous approaches to strategic planning and management, and MAP tries to reflect the core elements. Our challenge in developing MAP was to get behind the trappings, those examples that you find in the business literature, and focus on the underlying thinking and how that thinking would be applied, which I've attempted to list here on this slide. And I won't read these, but I will point out that when you go through these, you can see there's nothing here about plan writing or profit making or analyzing markets, or many of the things which are associated with private sector use of strategic planning. I think it's useful also to take a little detour here and to look at the public sector differences in applying strategic planning and strategic management compared to what happens, say, in the private sector. It's fair to say that one of the key differences in the public sector is that public sector managers, public sector leaders, don't have the full authority to carry out their jobs. They need the help and cooperation from other organizations. And they can't use this authority in a traditional executive way. They have to be able to persuade and to draw on this extra resource, if you will, to be able to get things done outside of being able to command action. Public agencies also must meet the expectations not just of clients or customers, the usual notion that you think of in service delivery, but in stakeholders. And because stakeholders are different and behave in a political manner, leaders in public health working at the community must really engage in political management as well as operations management in order to get things done. And really what they have to focus on is not just the day-to-day action, but creating, if you will, a theory of value of how action in the community is valuable to the community and how the agency, working with its partners, is able to add value collectively that cannot be done individually. So the principal role of public health agencies and leaders in the public health stream within the community is creating public value. And that public value is defined within the political marketplace. It's not just a matter of being able to calculate it through analysis, but it needs to be created through developing a strategy which really talks to how public value is created within the community with the health department and its partners working together to achieve an end which the community as a whole and the principal stakeholders feel are valuable. And indeed, Mark Moore, I think, captures this well in looking at what does strategy mean in public health within in the community. And it really has three elements. It needs to be substantively valuable. It needs to be operationally feasible. That is, you've got to be able to do it. But it needs to also be politically sustainable. For strategy to work at the community level, these three things have to happen. So when we pull all of this together, what are the characteristics of strategic planning that are important within in the MAP context? Well, one is the integration of the steps, that the steps actually flow together in a way that they build on each other. It's the form of the process, that you can't just unbundle it and pick those that you're most comfortable with and skip the hard ones. Participation of the stakeholders is essential. It's not just a technical exercise done at the highest level. There's an action orientation. It needs to focus on purpose on the highest level directions, but it needs to look not inside at the operations of either the agency or the partners, but outside in the community, and indeed beyond the community to see what the external environment is demanding, and then to work both at ends and at means to figure out what should we be doing as well as how should we be doing it. Now, there are several approaches to strategic planning, and the three models which I think are most reflected in MAP are the Harvard Policy Model, in which the SWOT analysis, which everyone is familiar with, can see. But there's also an approach which values stakeholder management and the role of understanding how stakeholders and power politics and interest politics yield strategy. And then finally, issues management. Paul talked about the tensions. Often tensions are expressed as issues which really provide the starting point both to do a MAP process, undertake strategic planning, and engage the community. And keeping those tensions focused throughout the process is an important part of strategic planning. Now, this may still seem to be a bit foreign for public health agencies and their communities, and the purpose of this overhead here is to point out that for those public health agencies that have gone through APEX, APEX maps pretty well to what's needed to do strategic planning. So if public health agencies and their partners have had experience in doing APEX, they're well positioned to be able to do strategic planning through the MAP process. APEX does provide a good base, and as we pointed out, over half of the MAP users had actually used APEX in the past. Now, that's not enough. You need a starting place, and the 10 Essential Services really provides a generic strategy for doing MAP. But these are carried out not just by the local public health agency, which prior approaches to planning would have had, but by the collection of organizations that make up the public health system. But as I'm sure you've seen this one before, I included here because I think it captures the messiness. This public health system is not just this neat array of organizations that are out there, and you can identify them and understand what they do and then put them together in a way that it's immediately apparent how the pieces fit into this nice whole. It's very chaotic in most communities. And what you have to do is to define that to begin with and then realign the action of all of those agencies, so while they're not just each doing their own thing according to their own set of standards, but according to some common goal. One of the major concepts of strategic planning is alignment, especially in loosely coupled organizations. MAP uses analysis and participation of stakeholders first to establish a common understanding of the external situation in the community, then to establish a common direction and commitment to work through that direction. Analysis is used not so much as a technical means to derive that direction, but as a way to use data to establish common ground. And hopefully by having this common ground, organizations get the shared experience of what the situation is within the community, which then becomes the base for taking concerted action to resolve that situation. I think it's worth pointing out that there's many ways to do strategic planning and to do MAP. Taking a leadership approach and drawing on leadership theory, I think, will keep users away from some of the older, more command and control and analysis-oriented approaches, which, while might be successful in some circumstances, are not appropriate for what we intend MAP to do intend strategic planning to do through MAP. And as Paul concluded, or nearly concluded with this model, I think we both end in the same place, perhaps a little bit difference in emphasis, and I tend to like this one because of the way I think. But I'll say that MAP looks the way it does for a reason. And underlying that reason is rational planning, which is familiar to public health managers and leaders. But in addition, more recent theories of leadership and strategic planning. And all of this has to come together for MAP to work. And perhaps the miracle, if you will, or beauty in the MAP process is that it does have these underlying concepts, which, if considered, will help organizations to be able to adapt MAP successfully so that it can work in their communities.